Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to my podcast, Introverted Queen, where I, an introvert, have conversation with other introverts about living in an extroverted world. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome. If you are a returning listener, thank you so much for listening, supporting, and sharing these episodes. Cultivating real relationships can be difficult in this fast-paced world that we live in. But sometimes you meet people on social media who are super cool. My guest this week is someone I connected with via Instagram. Her name is Nicole, and she is a retired wallflower, a proud introvert, and a people skills coach. We talked about being introverts, making new friends as adults, and she shared how she learned to speak up confidently and engage with others to build meaningful relationships. It's a great episode. Check it out. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Cindy.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm so happy we're finally having this podcast chat. So, little backstory for those listening. Cindy and I met, I don't know, months and months ago. Yeah. And we were supposed to have a podcast chat, but it just never happened. I think initially we scheduled it and then Cindy, you got busy with work.
Yes.
You got called in and you're like, I'm so sorry. Can we reschedule it? And at the time I was working with a mentor from my business who I'm not going to identify, but he or she at the time just recommended no collabs, just work on your business, try to get customers, mm-hmm. make money. And I didn't really feel comfortable, but I was like, okay, you have experience. I'll try it out. And it just did not align with me. I felt so bad for all the people I like postponed or canceled podcast collabs with. So I was reaching out, like we were both feeling so guilty.
And we both reached out.
We're like, I'm so sorry. Am I still professional to you? Would you still want to do a collab or a podcast chat? And we both felt so scared approaching each other. It's just so funny. So, yeah, we were both nervous about this, but I'm glad we're finally making it happen.
Me too. I remember checking the email and I'm like, should I send an email back to Nicole? I'm like, she's probably not going to respond, but let me just, you know.
So just a little FYI to everyone, even we overthink.
Absolutely.
No one's perfect. So we're human too.
Yes. Yes. But it's so good to have you here. And yeah, let's chat.
Thank you. I'm so honored to be here.
So, Nicole, when did you realize that you were an introvert?
Gosh, probably really early on as a kid. I remember enjoying being by myself, playing with my own toys. In kindergarten, I would just be in my own little world playing with my toys. I didn't really join with the other kids. Mm-hmm. And I have this really foggy memory. I think I was like first or second grade, and I was playing on the monkey bars at school, probably during recess time, and I was by myself, just, you know, playing on the monkey bars like I usually do. And a couple girls walked by and they were talking and they saw me. And I think one of them whispered to the other girls, like, should we ask her to join us? Should we play, you know, have her play with us? And the other girl looked at me and she said out loud that I could hear her. And she said, oh, no, she likes to play by herself. And I remember this and I remember thinking to myself, I always felt that way. But then finally having someone else acknowledge that, like a third person, someone actually say that, made me realize, yeah, it's actually true. I do always like to be by myself, with my own company. And I didn't really know the definition of the word introvert until years later. Mm-hmm. But I always felt kind of different as a kid. I always liked to be alone. I always felt weird. Is there something broken with me? So it's definitely something that I've identified with for a very long time, probably the majority of my life.
Mm-hmm. Being an introvert, did you find it hard to make friends at the playground because of that?
Yeah, as a kid, you know, I used to find it really difficult to make friends, meet new people. Mm-hmm. Now, as an adult in my 30s, I call myself a retired wallflower because I don't see myself as someone who's standing on the sidelines waiting for someone to come and talk to me. And I'll totally go through the whole story. So initially, as a kid, it was really hard to make friends. I was so intimidated to walk up to someone, strike up a conversation out of thin air. I mean, I just was not the social butterfly. And as an introvert, I often got friends by being adopted by extroverts.
Yes.
Which I think you can totally understand. I'm sure a lot of introverts can completely relate to that. I remember I was in seventh grade. I moved to a new town. I didn't know anyone. And this girl named Rachel, super nice, completely extroverted, adopted me in her circle with her other girlfriends. And we're still friends to this day. We just click. We played with like Sailor Moon in high school. We were the nerds of the school. And it was perfect because that's who I was. But I remember just being adopted by this extroverted group. And just they had brought me into their circle. And, you know, we don't see each other that often now. We're all moms with kids, busy lives. And I live a couple hours away. But we still try to keep in touch. You know, I send them Valentine cards to my girlfriends. I, you know, have quarterly play dates where I drive out a few hours to see them. And, you know, I think that's the thing is that adult friendships are really hard to create and to maintain.
Yeah.
You know, TV, movies, they've given us this unrealistic fantasy of what adult friendships are like. You know, I grew up with a TV show, Friends.
Mm-hmm.
I love that show. I've seen all 10 seasons. I can probably, I memorize every episode by heart. I know every joke by heart. I've seen every episode like a billion times. And, you know, when you see that show, you think, I'm supposed to be friends with the same group of people for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's completely false.
Yep.
You know, life happens. We outgrow our friends. Your values change. People are allowed to grow and change. It's totally human.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my sister became a vegetarian, so it's hard to go to restaurants with her now. I have a few friends who adopted a different political belief. I have friends who went through a divorce. Some friends who chose to never get married and have kids. And so our people evolve. People's values change, and that's totally normal.
Mm-hmm.
And so to expect people to stay exactly the same is completely unrealistic.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why I call myself a retired wallflower, is that, you know, in my adult life, I learned I have to learn and practice my people skills. I exercise my speaking muscles. I try different conversation icebreakers or methods of connecting with other people. And right now in my day job, I'm a nurse practitioner by day. And I've been doing this for several years. So I see up to like 18 to 20 patients a day. So I have 18 to 20 brand new conversations a day with people I don't know, most people I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I practice every day my speaking muscles over and over. And initially it was really challenging. I felt overwhelmed, just energetically drained. But eventually I mastered my techniques so that now I can easily connect with other people while conversing on autopilot. Because the truth is, the people and the relationships in your lives are what make life meaningful for everyone.
Absolutely.
And so now when I outgrow a friend, or a friend and I argue and we realize, hey, our values don't align anymore, the circumstance is no longer a burden to me. I no longer have this negative internal dialogue inside of me. Why don't they want to be my friend? What's wrong with me? You know, I'm an adult now. It's so I don't know how to talk to people. I don't know how am I going to make friends now? And I no longer waste my energy on those thoughts. Now I think to myself, I have everything inside of me that I need. There are over 7 billion people on this planet. My people, my circle, they are out there. And I have the skill set to go out there and find them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I mean when I say I'm a retired wallflower, is that I now have the skill set to go out and strike up an engaging conversation and to get friends if, in the event that I've outgrown my friends, I'm in a new chapter of my life and I'm ready to make new friends.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think nowadays we hear more conversations about women and their friendships, especially as adults. Because I think it was a little bit, we didn't really talk about it, but I think now as adults, it's like, sometimes people don't have that big group of friends that we saw in Sex and the City, you know, going brunching every Sunday. It's not everybody's reality, right? And then you realize that, you know, as an adult, you move around. And then if you're not somebody who makes friends easily, it can be really lonely. So
absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And when you're really lonely, it's hard because, you know, when you're able to engage in conversations, talk to people, make new friends, your world expands.
Yes.
Your world expands and it just becomes such a happier place.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, it really uplifts your life.
Mm-hmm.
It really, really does.
Mm-hmm. But I think also by creating new friendships, I think you have to be ready to be open, like being vulnerable in order to attract these people. Because you can't be like, oh, I want to make some new friends. And then you're not, you know, you're not really opening up. You're just kind of like, okay, let me just text her hi and good morning and see what happens from there, right? So it's also your mindset.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a balance.
Yes.
It's definitely a balance, you know. I mean, you have to be in that point where you want to make friends.
Yes.
You know, if you're someone who you have one or two friends and you are genuinely happy, mm-hmm. then all the power to you.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. But if you're the person where you only have one or two friends and, you know, the friendship's kind of like on eggshells, it's not quite at that degree of friendship that you wish you had, you want to get more friends, and that's a different story. Absolutely. And it definitely takes a skill set in order to, you know, learn to be open to other people, to gain their trust, to show that you're trustworthy, but also not dumping all your childhood trauma the first conversation. Now, that's a little overkill, you know? Let's warm up the conversation, the friendship, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you wrote on your Instagram post, and I love this. Introversion is not a weakness, but it is a weakness if you are staying home waiting for life to happen to you. Does that resonate a lot with other introverts that you know?
I'm so glad you brought that up. Yeah. When I got a lot of good feedback on that because it's a big misunderstanding that a lot of people have about introverts. And it's actually a big misunderstanding that a lot of introverts have about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines an introvert completely incorrectly. If you look up the dictionary, it says an introvert is a shy person, which we all know is 100% false. That is so wrong. And a definition that most introverts have about introverts is an introvert is someone whose energy is drained from social interactions. The truth is, that's also not completely true. That's actually a misunderstanding that a lot of introverts have about themselves. The true definition of an introvert is someone who's energetically drained by social interactions, but emotionally fulfilled by deep, meaningful conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say that again.
Yes.
For those people listening and their jaw just drops, okay? The true definition of an introvert is someone who is energetically drained by social interactions, but emotionally fulfilled by deep, meaningful conversations.
Mm.
I mean, my heart and my mind is just so fulfilled with this conversation with you right now, Cindy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love talking to you about this. Oh my gosh. Like, I love talking to you about, you telling me about your little anecdotes, like your childhood growing up at church, and
yes.
people said, oh, why are you so quiet? Or,
yes.
you know, they think you're dumb. Like, I love having these conversations. It just fulfills me.
Mm-hmm.
It lights me up. You know, introverts, we love deep, meaningful conversations. It lights up our world. Like, our brain synapses in our prefrontal cortex is just firing off like fireworks, and we just feel incredibly connected and happy. The problem is that a lot of introverts feel energetically drained from social interactions, and they get stuck there at that part. And many introverts mistakenly believe, I feel drained by social interactions. Therefore, I can't go out that often. I need to stay home and recharge my batteries all the time. I feel more comfortable this way. I feel safe this way.
Mm-hmm.
And I always challenge my clients when I hear them say this. I question whether you actually like to stay home all day to recharge, or are you staying home out of fear? And if it is out of fear, fear of what? Is
yes.
it fear of the unknown? Fear of social interactions? Because, hey, maybe you had a bad prior experience. Fear of not knowing how many people will be at the party or at the restaurant or the happy hour. Maybe fear of how quickly your energy will be depleted, you know, all these things. And so we have this internal dialogue, this internal narrative that most introverts have is, I can't handle it if things go bad. And that is the wrong narrative to have inside of you. And so to the introvert listening and thinking to themselves, yeah, Nicole, this is totally me. This is exactly what I think about myself.
Mm-hmm.
This is my message to you today. Stop being a bully to yourself. You have amazing greatness inside of you. And if you want to get more friends as an adult, the world needs your greatness shared with others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, naturally, people are not skilled at something they don't practice on a regular basis. If you don't, you know, practice riding a bike regularly, you're not going to learn how to ride a bike. Why do you know how to drive a car? Because we do it regularly all the time. Are you a good conversationalist if you don't engage in conversations with other people on a regular basis? Of course not. You know, carrying an engaging conversation is a skill. It's a science. It's not a natural talent that most people think it is. You know, it can be 100% learned and mastered, but it needs to be practiced consistently. You know, it's maybe, how can I approach someone without feeling like I'm bothering them? Or how can I dive from the fluffy, fake feeling small talk to the deep, meaningful conversations where I personally thrive in? How can I gently connect with another human being? How can, and if my energy starts depleting, how do I start wrapping up the conversation politely without losing that human connection that we're starting to create? These are the real questions that introverts should be asking themselves. And when you really stop being afraid of what you cannot control, and instead know that nothing can possibly ruin your life more than you ruining your life with your negative, irrational, and bully-like thinking, that's when you are free and in control of your life. Mm-hmm. Because as introverts, that's what we want, to feel in control of our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. So well said. And it kind of reminds me of when you do want to approach somebody, you're like, okay, let me introduce myself. You know, I'm going to practice my small talk. And then you start overthinking about it. You're like, how should I start? should I talk about the sunshine or the rain or their car, my nail polish? And then you just start going on this spiral and then you don't do anything about it, right?
So, exactly. Yeah. Then you start catastrophizing everything in your head. You're mm-hmm. overthinking, and that makes you having analysis paralysis, and your brain actually shuts down because mm-hmm. there's too many thoughts. You feel overwhelmed and your brain shuts down to conserve energy. It's a human defense mechanism. Mm-hmm. And so absolutely, it's overwhelming. But that's what my coaching business is for, is to help you give you the scripts, the verbatims of what you can say to make you feel comfortable stepping outside your comfort zone, so that you can get past the social fear and actually start connecting with people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And connecting with other people is so important. So it's definitely worth, you know, practicing those skills, because you're connecting with people all day, every day, right? So
absolutely. Even any little micro interaction, if you're mm-hmm. getting coffee at the local coffee shop and you say hi to the barista, that's an interaction.
Yeah.
You can ask them, hey, is it pretty busy today?
Yes.
How's your day going? Mm-hmm. You know, am I your like 20th order of this? You know, is it with the holidays now? So people are getting their pumpkin spice lattes going on, you know? Every little micro interaction, take advantage of it. Mm-hmm. That is you practicing your speaking muscles. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. Do you find it refreshing when you hear that a world leader or a media personality is an introvert?
Of course. Oh my gosh, of course. Representation matters, especially when we're kids. Yes. Yes. Just like, you know, I'm so glad when I see an Asian American in the media mm-hmm. or a woman accepting a leadership position normally held by men. It just makes me feel so good. You know, I'll give you a story. So I grew up in the 90s on Barbie dolls and Pantene Pro-V commercials.
Yes.
So I grew up thinking your hair has to be this beautiful, blonde, straight, silky, shiny hair that mm-hmm. flows when you swing your head side to side. And, you know, I'm ABC. I'm an American-born Chinese. So I did not look like any of these Barbie dolls or Pantene Pro-V mm-hmm. models. And I don't have silky, straight hair. I actually have naturally curly hair, mm-hmm. which is weird because stereotypically, Chinese have very straight hair. My whole family has straight hair. My mom, my dad, my sister, my grandparents, aunt, uncle, cousins. I have no idea where my curly hair came from. I promise I'm not a bastard. My parents showed me my birth certificate. But I don't know where it came from. But because of that, I had no family, no one to help me understand how to take care of my hair. And so, you know, my hair was usually a frizzy mess. And my mother would tell me, hey, you need to brush your hair. And so I'd show her, okay, I'm brushing my hair. And it becomes more frizzy.
That's right.
And she's just like throwing her hands up in the air, like, I don't know what to do. I don't have this type of hair. So I spent like years of my childhood investing hundreds of dollars, my time, my energy to straighten my curly hair. I woke up 2 hours early every morning.
2 hours.
Just to flat iron my hair. I'd be crying as I flat ironed my hair. I dreaded the days filled with wind, rain, and humidity. Those were nightmares. I literally fried my hair with all the heat damage. I kept cutting the split ends until my hair was like barely touching my chin. It was horrible. It was horrible for like, I don't know, two and a half decades of my life. And luckily now There are curly hair communities yes. everywhere. I found support online. I found education mm-hmm. and knowledge of how to care and stuff for my curly hair. And now I get girlfriends actually wishing they had my curly hair.
Yeah.
And like, I finally found like support, and it's great. You know, like I said, representation completely matters. And so as an introvert, seeing someone in a thought leader position that is representative of your identity, of who you are, it is so, so powerful. You don't feel like you're alone. It unlocks this part of your brain that communicates someone who looks just like you is doing this. Mm-hmm. So you can too. You know, they are paving the road for you. They're showing you that things are possible. So to see introverts in like a leadership or, you know, in the media, in a personality position, like J.K. Rowling, Simon Sinek, Elon Musk, Beyonce, Barack Obama, Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, you know, all these leaders, it really lifts the burden off that internal narrative we carry that something is wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it allows us to feel valued, validated, that things are possible in our life and that our introversion is not a limit, it's an asset.
Absolutely. And I like that because when you look at world leaders, like I think you mentioned Barack Obama, we all know what a great speaker he is. And I'm like, oh, he's an introvert.
Oh, good. Yes. Yes. So I was just watching the news and he gave a speech for the upcoming election here in the U.S. He is just so charismatic.
Yes.
Like when he opens his mouth and speaks, you are just drawn in.
Yeah.
And you're like, how the heck are you an introvert? This is amazing. Like, he probably recharges a lot afterwards
oh, yeah.
in private, but mm-hmm. on camera, man, he is so charismatic.
Yeah. Yeah. He yeah. really is. What is one thing you fear the most?
If I want to be really literal with you, I could tell you I'm afraid of spiders. I am just deathly afraid since I was a kid. Oh my gosh. If I see a spider in the house, I have to get my husband to come kill it because I cannot touch it.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm going to be absolutely honest and just vulnerable with you, which I think will provide more value to those who are listening, probably my greatest fear would be being alone. You know, I think mm-hmm. it's a typical prey fear of humans. Mm-hmm. You know, we're social creatures.
Yeah.
If we look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, when a human has their physiological and safety needs met, so food, clothing, air, their health, employment, and financial security, the next human need is love and belonging,
yeah.
like your friendships, your relatives, your family, your social needs. You know, I'll give you an example. Every day, I think about my mom. You know, my mom passed away about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was very unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
It honestly shouldn't have happened. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I was young and dumb, and I was so consumed with my friends, my boyfriend, then, you know, my then boyfriend, now husband, you know, my career. And I don't even remember the last conversation I had with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ashamed to say that, but it's true.
Mm-hmm.
And every day I think of her, and I've had to have memories and build memories without her. You know, I had to get married without my mom.
Mm-hmm.
I became a mom without my mom, mm-hmm. which is probably the hardest thing I've honestly ever had to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so every day I think of her, and she makes me realize how important relationships are in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Relationships are the most important thing you can invest in your life. And so, you know, every day I invest in some relationship somehow. You know, it could be through sending a voice message or a video message to someone. It could be going to the park with my 2-year-old, making a new memory with him. It could be sending out holiday cards to my friends, wishing someone happy birthday. It could be planning a Thanksgiving meal. By the way, I'm hosting 2 Thanksgivings this year. Wish me luck that I survive. And, you know, every day I'm making a small impact on my social world, just investing in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And every day I work hard at cherishing those relationships I have in my life. Because, you know, really the relationships in your life is the most important investment you can make.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. And I'm sorry to hear about your mom. I know it's really difficult to lose a parent. I lost a parent as well in 2019. So I can totally relate. And I think when you lose a parent, like you said, your relationships are more meaningful. Like sometimes you may have had relationships that were very surface. And now you're like, why am I still keeping that relationship surface? No, getting rid of that, investing in more deep, meaningful relationships. Because at the end of the day, you know, you want connection, you want love, like you said, belonging. You want to be seen and heard, right?
Exactly. We all crave recognition. Mm-hmm. And thanks for sharing that about your dad. I know you. We talked about that before, and it was something that like we both share in common. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you've learned how valuable relationships are through going through that, from your dad passing?
Absolutely. I think also you invest more time in them. I think before I was like, okay, you know, I'll go see a friend whenever or a family member. But now you're like, I'm actually going to make time and, you know, keep that time and, you know, just spend time with that person. Because, you know, we all know life is short, right? Anything can happen.
Yeah. And we both lived through it. That literally anything can happen. Exactly. You just never know. Like, we have a limited number of days on this earth as a human being. And it's sad. It's really painful. Like, it took me years to admit that, you know, it took losing my mom to realize how important relationships are. Mm-hmm. And it's sad when we have to go through something so tragic to learn that lesson. I mean, I will always wish that my mom is alive. Mm-hmm. I will always wish that. But I do reflect back on, like, how can I attribute meaning to her passing?
Yeah.
You know, because that's the only way to live is that, you know, you have to attribute meaning to these huge changes and huge tragedies in your life to move forward in a positive light. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry about your dad.
Thank you.
I know both our parents are watching over us as guardian angels. Yes, and I'm sure they're so happy we met too.
Right. So what's one piece of advice that changed your life?
You ask good questions. I don't know what I would say someone gave me this specific piece of advice, but it's more like life experience taught me this advice, and I try to pass it on to others because, you know, I wish my younger version knew this. A question I get a lot from people is, how can I talk to people and make friends but still be authentic to my introvert self? And I know we already discussed that, you know, a true definition of an introvert is that you may be energetically drained from social interactions, but you thrive in deep, meaningful conversations. And so my tip is to invest in quality conversations and not quantity conversations. Mm-hmm. You know, introverts, most of us, I'm not a stereotype, but most introverts despise small talk.
Yes.
It feels, right?
It feels fake.
Exactly. I knew it. It feels forced. It feels fake. It feels fluffy. It feels meaningless. I mean, we love the deep, meaningful, spirited conversations with one, two people, or maybe in a small group. You know, that's our secret sauce. It's really about being smart and efficient with our energy. Because as introverts, you know, it's all about energy preservation. So for example, you know, I'm married. I have a 2.5-year-old, so I am always exhausted. So if I'm going out to a social event, I need to get something out of it. I don't mean to sound mean, but this is the truth. I need to get something out of it and make the most of it. It's better, you know, help me get closer to my goal of, you know, nurturing my friendships or my business goal of getting more clients, or maybe it's forming more connections with my personal friends, etc. So if I come home feeling I didn't accomplish anything worthwhile from that social event, then I should have stayed home and with my family, you know, because spending time with my family is so important to me. And so, you know, as an introvert, my energy is priceless. The most valuable thing you could expend is your energy. And so a smart and efficient introvert takes advantage of each social interaction they involve themselves in. So make those conversations work harder for you. I have a saying, a conversation is an investment in a relationship. So make your conversation interaction one of quality.
Yes.
The recipient gets the best version of you. And then they go tell their friends what an amazing conversation they had with you. And you start to create this social circle of people who like you and trust you. And you do that with one conversation.
Yeah.
It's time to work smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. Because sometimes you want to go out, right? Because you were saying that if you're going out, it better be worth it.
Exactly.
But then when you realize that it's not worth it, when you're already at the event and you're just counting down the time until, like, listen, I'm just going to stay here for an hour and then I'm going to leave. And then you're trying to see how I'm like, okay, I'm going to talk to 4 or 5 people and then I'm gone. Right? So I think sometimes you may think that you're wasting your time at an event that you're like, this is not worth my time. But even just going, you're like, okay, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up, Cindy. That's perfect. So another tip is that if you're feeling that way, you feel like you know, gosh, Nicole and Cindy, I go out to social events and I just feel like it's such a waste of time. I never get anything out of it. Change the meaning that you attribute to that event. You know, if you go out to an event and you talk to a few people, but you don't really get their numbers, you don't really organically connect with them, you can tell from the first 5 minutes, we're not going to be friends. You know, if you go home that day and think, this was a waste of time, this was a waste of my energy, this was a waste of my time, you're going to think that, yeah, it was a waste of your time and your energy, you should have just stayed home. But if you change the meaning around that to, you know what, I got to practice my speaking muscles. Mm-hmm. You know what, I got to practice this one or two icebreakers that I don't think really worked well. Mm-hmm. So I learned that I'm not going to try that. I'm going to try a different one. I'm going to try a different conversation technique or strategy. Maybe I learned, hey, this social event, that bar was real small and tiny. I didn't like the environment. I want to try a different type of social event, maybe a daytime event, maybe something else, a different context to meet people. So if you change the meaning you attribute, that just that one little tweak of mindset completely shifts your perspective on that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, Nicole, this was so nice. Thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing all that wisdom you got.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. Yes, absolutely. I hope for you listening, I hope that this gave you some value. Absolutely. And if you want more, you know, you can find me on social media. I'm on Instagram. I'm on YouTube. Just look up at It's Nicole Jean, which I'm sure Cindy will wonderfully put in the show notes below. You can check absolutely. That out. But yes, I'm always putting out free content on my socials. I send out weekly newsletters with tips for conversation techniques and, you know, just personal anecdotes and life lessons. So I'm always sharing out value to improve your people skills coach. So please check me out on social media.
Awesome. Thank you for everything that you do. Thank you for your work.
Thank you. I'm so honored.
That was such a great conversation I had with Nicole. I hope you found it insightful just as much as I did. One thing I took away from this conversation is that introversion is not a limit, but an asset. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts, and please subscribe. Follow me on Instagram at introverted_queenblog. Thank you so much for tuning in. Take good care, and until next time.